The scripture reading this morning continues where we left off last Sunday in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 13. Read through the first verse of chapter 5. We have the same faithful spirit as what is written in Scripture. I had faith, and so I spoke. We also have faith, and so we also speak. We do this because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and he will bring us into his presence along with you. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude to increase, which results in God's glory. So we aren't depressed. But even if our bodies are breaking down on the outside, the person that we are on the inside is being renewed every day. Our temporary, minor problems are producing an eternal stockpile of glory. For us, that is beyond all comparison. We don't focus on things that can be seen, but on things that can't be seen. The things that can be seen don't last, but the things that can't be seen are eternal. We know that if the tent that we live in on earth is torn down, we have a building from God. It's a house that isn't handmade, which is eternal and located in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are times, a lot of times, maybe even we could say usually, it would be easier to do nothing than whatever it takes to survive challenging situations. Everybody has those times. The Apostle Paul was no exception. In the opening chapter of the second epistle to the Corinthians, Paul discloses some of the struggles he had encountered, saying, "We don't want you to be unaware of the troubles we went through in Asia. We were weighed down with a load of suffering that was so far beyond our strength that we were afraid we might not survive. It certainly seemed to us as if we had gotten the death penalty. This was so that we could have confidence in God, who raises the dead, instead of having confidence in ourselves. God rescued us from a terrible death, and he will rescue us again." Paul would go into more detail in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians as to the struggles that caused him to be afraid he would not survive, citing a list that included imprisonments, beatings, stonings, and shipwrecks, not to mention the weight of the congregations in his care. For Paul, this was not an invitation to his personal pity party. He wanted the Corinthians to know not only had he paid his dues, but that he stood in solidarity with them and with others who had suffered rather than above them. As the devoted pastoral leader, he wanted to proclaim that when suffering is encountered, and it will be, that it is no indication that that's time to throw in the towel. He wanted to provide an inspiring model as to how others who suffer could find the strength to stand firm and prevail over whatever load of suffering may have them weighted down beyond their strength, afraid they may not survive. Before we get into this morning's text, it might be helpful to consider the audience to whom Paul was writing. Eugene Peterson reminds us in the introduction to the book of 2 Corinthians that the Corinthian Christians gave their founding pastor, Paul, more trouble than all of the other churches put together. No sooner did Paul get one problem straightened out in Corinth than three more appeared. The provocation for Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth was an attack on his leadership. They didn't argue with what he had written. They simply denied his right to tell them what to do. You might say that when the Corinthians heard Paul talking about the load of suffering that weighed him down, they were listening with their thumb on the scale adding to the burden of his ministry. Do you remember what Paul said last week as we heard the text preceding these verses? He described the message and ministry of the gospel which he was called to proclaim as a treasure given to him by God. What a blessing. It would probably be a lot easier to be reminded that he was a clay pot about to be broken by the weight of this ministry rather than to see it as a treasure. Nevertheless, Paul prevailed. How? How did he not give up under the weight of it all? How do we continue when all that weighs us down seems so far beyond our strength that we're afraid we just may not survive this one? What is the key to being able to maintain a view of life that allows us to prevail in the face of oppression? When doing nothing would certainly be a whole lot easier than doing whatever it takes to keep going. How do we do it? Quoting the psalmist, Paul says, "I had faith, so I spoke." Paul was able to speak when it would have been easier to not speak because of his faith in God. God had rescued him countless times, and that instilled a faith that God would continue to rescue him yet again. So he spoke. How could he not speak with faith in a God like that? Time and time again, we have seen those who are oppressed beyond all measure not only survive the oppression they face, but to do it with unexplainable and unimaginable sense of peace and resolve. In the current edition of the Christian Century magazine, Isaac Villegas, an ordained minister in the Mennonite Church and a PhD student in religion at Duke University, wrote about a visit to a refugee camp just outside Jerusalem that he made in 2016. While there, he and a friend came across kids playing soccer in what was, at that time, a quiet road that ran alongside the wall, separating olive groves on one side from cramped housing units on the other side. It was a wall that segregated the state of Israel from the occupied Palestinian territories. The playground where the children were playing was littered with empty tear gas canisters that had been shot from watchtowers on the massive wall curving around the corner of the refugee neighborhood. He described how he heard the children before he saw them. Shouts of joy, of delight, the sound of kids at play. He was perplexed at how, even under the weight of such oppression, the children still play soccer. Toddlers still run around the swing set on the playground. And the mothers in hijabs still laugh together as they watch from the shade of olive trees. The Legas wrote of how two women gave him a tour of their vegetable garden. They said, "We plant, we eat, we hope." The other said, "Our existence is our resistance." Or as Paul would say, "I had faith, so I spoke." Alan Bosick calls it a subversive piety, a resistance that persists because it rests in and is driven by the protesting presence of the loving God. It seems that those who have known oppression and whose faith and hope and mere existence are rooted in God see the world differently. They're very much aware of their physical suffering and oppression. They know all too well the fear of whether they will even survive. Yet they see something else, something that only they can see. They see the protesting presence of the loving God. In the epistle reading for this morning, Paul writes about two different perspectives of life and all of the things that life could bring your way. One, he says, is focusing on what meets the eye. The other includes seeing things which cannot be seen by human eyes. The first, he says, is seeing what is temporary. The second is seeing what is eternal. All of the stuff that our eyes see and continues to revisit us in our worst nightmares, be they imprisonments, beatings, stonings, shipwrecks, or any other weight of care, Paul says they're temporary. To let those things define life for us would be more than short-sighted. It would be having life directed by little more than an illusion. Don't put too much stock in what happens to the physical body or to the world as you see it around you. Don't become depressed. Don't let it defeat you. Rather, look to what is eternal. Faith, hope, that protesting presence of a loving God. These are all things that aren't seen with physical eyes. Things that are often distorted by stuff that captures the focus of our eyes. Yet it is in these unseen things that our spirits are renewed day by day. They are the source of strength that keep us from losing heart. They are the portals that open to us the power of God and expand the narrative of life to include the script of all eternity. To have faith that empowers us to prevail, we must have courage to change our perspective. We have to literally look beyond what is seen. We have to look with eyes of the Spirit. We have to look at things which cannot be seen with physical sight. We have to look beyond all of those things that seem so real, so captivating of our attention. We have to look deeper and see more fully, looking into that dimension which is eternal, where we and all creation are being renewed day by day. The call of the sermon today is to widen and deepen our perspective. When we find ourselves facing a load of suffering that may have us weighed down beyond our strength, afraid we may not survive, let us turn our eyes toward the power and the assurance of eternity that gives us the steadfastness to believe, to hope, to continue to exist in the face of all oppression. Let us find the audacity to go on with life, to get up in the morning and meet that day, to live and love, to sing, to, as Wendell Berry says, invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest you did not plant, that you will not live to harvest. Let us prevail because we have hope, because we look to things which are not seen, because we have the assurance of the protesting presence of the loving God. Amen.